Catskill. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Local Edition. News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. In the second half of the show, we'll check in with Shawanoe Journal's reporter, Chris Raleigh, to see what's going on in Ulster County and in Ellenville. But first, Sullivan County NAACP, the Village of Monticello, and the Albert B. Crawford Library is celebrating Juneteenth this Saturday, June 18th, starting off with a parade kicking off at noon. On the phone just now to tell us more is the president of the Sullivan County chapter of the NAACP, Sandra Johnson Fields. Sandra, welcome to the program. From my memory, please correct me if I'm wrong, this is, I think, the second celebration that Sullivan County has had of Juneteenth?
Well, no, we've been celebrating it in Sullivan County for quite a few years. Many years before I even moved here, they had big celebrations. But we had smaller ones in recent history that I remember since I've been here. But a lot of people don't know about Juneteenth. And so last year we had one that, you know, was a little bit broadcasted more. And then this year, of course, since it's a federal holiday, but it's always been some type of celebration in Sullivan County. It just hasn't been large.
So what does Juneteenth mean to you, Sandra? What does it mean to you personally?
Juneteenth means to me it's the Black Independence Day. You know, this is the day that the last enslaved blacks who were brought to this country by force were set free. And so it marks our independence totally.
NAACP and the Village of Monticello and the Library Monticello are participating in this celebration for Juneteenth. It's happening in Monticello starting at noon. What can you tell us about what's going to happen on this Saturday?
Sure. It's going to be a parade. This is the first parade that we're having to mark Juneteenth since it's been a federal holiday. Because this is the first year, so most people are off on Monday because it is a federal holiday. And so we're having a celebration June 18th on Saturday, even though Juneteenth is officially on June 19th, but that's Father's Day. And so we didn't want to interfere with those who want to celebrate their fathers. And so what's going to happen is we're going to march in the parade from the police department in Monticello to the library. All of Sullivan County is going to be represented in the parade. We have the bigger cities have opted to be in it. We have Liberty representation from their police department, their school system, their politicians. We have Fallsburg involved with their police department, their school system, as well as Monticello. You know, the same thing, their police department, their school system, everyone's involved. Because the NAACP is for Sullivan County, not just Monticello. And so we're excited that we have people coming from New York City, the drummers, we have drummers coming. We have local drummers as well. We have people who are going to sing. We have stilt walkers who are going to be there. We have activities for children planned. We also are going to have a refreshment period. So we're very excited about what's to come and that we get a chance to really celebrate it in a larger scale and to really have more involvement than just the NAACP.
Juneteenth became a federal holiday in 2001. And now you talked about the other celebrations that didn't get a lot of fanfare, but now it is. Now there's a federal holiday. Now you're going to have a parade down Monticello Broadway. How does it feel? How does it feel that now the holidays are getting the recognition that it deserves?
It's great. It's long overdue that it's being recognized as a federal holiday. You know, it's always been celebrated in the large scale in Texas all throughout Texas, and Lubbock, Texas especially, has a huge celebration in Galveston. And Buffalo, New York has a very, the entire town is involved. And it'll probably have special meaning for them this year since they just went through that horrible, horrible event with the, mass shooting that just went on. And so we're excited because now more people will learn about it. We already knew about it. Many African Americans and people of color knew about Juneteenth already. It's just now becoming widely, known, and the information is widely circulated to other communities. And also our children. Now our children will get a chance to really, really understand that this is our day of liberation and that what it stands for.
And after the parade, according to the flyer, there's going to be refreshments and I believe a vendor aisle there, which I'm assuming will be a lot of the organizations in Sullivan County represented. Is that correct?
Yes, we have so many representations from throughout Sullivan County. The college is also marching, and they'll have a table. We have Sullivan 180 will be there. They have a table. You know, we have representation from vendors throughout. Sun River Health will be there. And, it'll be a lot of information given. It's also the first day for early voting. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we'll have voters registration forms there and information about candidates that are going to be up for election. And so it's very special because this year, again, I've been here just about 20 years, and I have yet to see a parade in Monticello. So to see a parade in Monticello with all of Sullivan County involved celebrating Black liberation is phenomenal for me. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds great. A lot of good celebrations are going to happen on June 18th for a celebration in honor of Juneteenth, which happens on June 19th. And it's really great that everyone in Sullivan County is going to come together for this holiday and actually, like you said, have a parade again in Monticello. Sandra, before we leave, is there anything I have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about?
No, just come on down and join us. You know, join us in the celebration and join us in learning more about Juneteenth and just being a part of the good feeling and good vibes that'll be going on that day. And join us. We look forward to it.
We were talking to Sandra Johnstone Field, president of the Sullivan County chapter of the NAACP, talking about Juneteenth celebration that's happening Saturday. That's happening tomorrow, June 18th, and it kicks off the parade starting at noon. It's Friday on the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. We'll be right back with Chris Rowley. And he's going to let us know what's happening in Ulster County, in Ellenville. This is the Local Edition on a Friday. We'll be right back.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills. Garnet Health, going above and beyond to elevate care every day for every person. Learn more at garnethealth.org. Exceptional lives here.
I'm Aaron Bendich. Join me for Borscht Beat, the Jewish music show on Radio Catskill. Each week I share rare, forgotten, and classic recordings from Jewish musical traditions across multiple generations. From Yiddish folk songs to instrumental klezmer, Yiddish theater, and contemporary performances. It's a grand tour of many musical landscapes. That's Borscht Beat, an hour of Jewish music in the Catskills, Sunday afternoons at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Local Edition. News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I've been your host, Patricia Robayo. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and every other Friday we check in with Shawanagux Journal's reporter, Chris Rowley, see what's going on in Ellenville in Ulster County. Chris is on the phone with us now. Hi, Chris. Welcome back to the program. Now, cannabis, it seems like there's going to be a booming business in Ellenville. What can you tell us about sort of the latest that's going on?
Well, it's beginning to seem like Cresco has setting off a little bit of an avalanche, or our area is attracting other businesses. I can't really go into too much detail here because it's still not stories that we have written or can really write about, but have seen beautiful plans for a magnificent outdoor artisanal high-end cannabis growing operation. And this would be more like a winery, a vineyard. You know, that's the model here. And this may be just the first of many. So if that's going to happen, then Ulster County, our corner of it, the Southwest. And another one. There's another business that we've heard about, and I've talked to them. They don't want real discussion of it too much, but they're into genetics and seeds. There may be the high-end seed business, and maybe that will evolve to a laboratory of some kind. I mean, one doesn't really know at this stage. But what it leaves me with, you know, being an irreverent kind of jest-oriented sort and a journalist, right? I'm just seeing Ellenville turning into a kind of Woodstock, but without the tie-dye. I don't care for tie-dye. And lots more pot. Lots! So I don't know. You know, that's one aspect. This will upset some people, but hey, that ship has sailed, as Mayor Kaplan said the other day. You know, just resign yourself to a new world that will have probably considerably less violence, because that's the end result of people using that particular intoxicant as opposed to alcohol.
It is definitely going to get some used to getting used to this new industry here in our area. I mean, just here in Sullivan County alone, there are a lot of brewery tours. Bethel Woods just really recently had a beer and wine tasting festival at their location. So I can see in the future things like that happening for cannabis. Maybe there's a cannabis trail. Maybe there's a cannabis festival is going to happen. Do you see it going sort of that direction? Is that even possible?
It would, you know. I mean, cannabis has different effects on people, but, you know, mostly, you know, and I think police will admit this to you if you get them into a private situation. They don't associate cannabis with domestic violence or anything like that, nor do they associate it with public violence and fights in the street. So those kind of things are separate. Beer trails and, you know, gourmet, you know, kind of beer appreciation and wine, you know, are fun and everything. Though people do have to try to keep a kind of a grip on how much. If you're doing a wine trail, you really don't want to hit too hard on the wines at the first winery, because, you know, you're going to do five. Yeah. And you need to be making sure that you eat food pretty much at every stop, because otherwise, you know, you're not going to be safe to drive. So, you know, these things. Now, of course, self-drive, which, you know, maybe like Fusion, you know, coming next year or 20 years from now. I don't know. But if we can get, as soon as we get self-drive, then the whole world changes from that point of view, you know. And as I've said, you know, we're all going to go mad with frustration, because self-drive cars will always go at the speed limit. And nobody does. Yeah, so if you're trying to get to the airport in that world, you will have to leave that hour earlier than you want to. So anyway, that's going to happen. But yeah, I love it, because I love, you know, artisanal beer. Mind you, I'm a Guinness drinker, but, you know, hey, you know, that's just a special art that the Irish perfected. And nobody else comes close. And you will have noticed, beer drinkers, that very, very few people try to do a dry Irish stout a la Murphy's, Beamish, or Guinness. It's not an easy thing to do. So, you know, all the stouts that you see tend to be big, massive, more English kind of affairs with a much higher original gravity, quite a lot of alcohol, and so on and so on. You know, So if that's one of those interesting little things, I always find. But cannabis is going to slot into our culture in its own way, without tie dye, I hope. And it will be fascinating. Cannabis tours, they may be. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see. Just check back in 5 years, see what's happening. And of course, the other side about this, we all have to remember is that those poor folks, five of them on the cannabis control board, are grappling with mountains of paperwork and ideas and concepts, and they're being pounded from, I don't think they can answer the phone because there's somebody waiting to lobby them every time they turn around. So, it's a big issue, hard to get your hands around because, here's one thing. The smoking thing. I mean, most people who've used cannabis have smoked, but I think that the smoking thing is possibly going to fade and go away and be replaced by, vaping and maybe beverages and the edibles and all that. So it's going to change. The very fundamentals of consumption of that intoxicant will change, and then. It will be very hard to know whether someone is used or using because they won't smell it.
That's one of the concerns that I know law enforcement has brought up during the process of cannabis becoming legal, recreational cannabis becoming legal, was how do you test someone and sort of prove that they are driving under the influence? I heard things about possible saliva test in the future coming down the road. So you have to wait and see for that.
And if you're an experienced cannabis user, you drive like an experienced cannabis user, which is pretty much at the limit, always looking around, aware very much that you are, excuse my language, messed up and, not wanting to draw the attention of the police. But it's the inexperienced cannabis user or the fool that mixes cannabis with alcohol that is the danger. And, there has to be some kind of test that will work. And it can't, obviously, if it's going to be for people are using edibles and drinks and all that, right, it can't be a breath test. So maybe a little blood test. Now, everybody who knows anybody who has diabetes knows that there are very quick blood tests. So can that be the avenue that the police go? Well, will that be something that the public will accept, that the police will stop you and take a blood test off of the back of your hand? I think there's a lot of issues there, but this may be the kind of legal contortions that we'll have to go to get into until the driverless cars, until they arrive. Yeah, when they come, then forget all this stuff, but yeah.
I mean, a lot of it still we have to wait and see because a lot of the finer details have been finalized, and this is such an ongoing topic, recreational legalization of cannabis. So now on to other news. It seems like this talks above the village of Ellenville about dissolving the village. What can you tell us about that?
Well, let's just start at the top. New York State at state government level wants all the villages to get out of the business. They want the villages everywhere in New York State to combine. That's wrong because some of the villages are enormous. There are villages in Nassau with 50,000 people, so forget that. But they want the little villages to combine with the townships that they're in, just to remove another layer of government, make things more efficient, perhaps, and less expensive. But that comes up against home rule and the desire of people to have control over things and so on. But coming down to our local level, Wawarsing and the village of Ellenville have been dancing around this issue for a long time, at least a decade, and perhaps a lot more, actually. And it comes down to whether the village can dissolve. Now, the big bone in the throat on this is, of course, that the village has a police department, a third of the village budget, $1.2 million, therefore goes on that budget. And it has always been impossible until very recently to even imagine having a police district. Those were not allowed for other reasons that we won't go into here. But So if the village with its police went into the town, the village police will have to patrol the whole town. And that is something that the town doesn't feel it needs, and so on and so on. And these are all very, these are legacy issues and difficult to get around. But the question now is the village is teetering. I mean, the village manager is walking a tightrope, with the abyss of bankruptcy on one side. And the town has to appreciate that and stop. There's lots of complaints about the village being profligate with its finances long ago and on and on. And there's lots of back and forth. And I honestly, as an observer who sits on all these meetings, just writing that all down, I think they have to get over that. They've got to start looking at it from a practical point of view as quickly as possible to see what needs to be done to allow for the village to dissolve and become part of the town. Although I understand there's a lot of resistance and a lot of people don't like the idea, but change is coming and this is what the state government wants too. So. I think this is one of these things they're going to have to grapple with. It's not going to be fun. It's sort of like you come across that porcupine that's in the middle of the road.
Now you're saying this is something that the state is pushing, that this is something that they want done to happen? Because I haven't seen anything publicly said yet about this particular topic in recent days.
I believe they have. Yeah, I got to go check on that. But yeah, I think so. I think whether it's formal or informal, I think from governor on down, there is a desire to put the villages out of business and make them part of towns, because there are some very tiny villages out in this day and age, a municipal entity with less than 200 people is not viable, we have one in our area, Bloomingburg, which is growing in population. So maybe it is viable now, but, it was the source of one of the greatest scandals in our little region, because it's so vulnerable in an election. 24 people were all that was required to set off that particular scandal. They voted in a certain way. That ended up costing millions. It's that kind of thing that I think the state wants to stamp out or prevent or occlude. And there's all legacies. If you look at a map of New York State, the country, on townships and counties and that kind of thing, when you go west and south from New York, right? You move steadily into the world where the county is the kind of local organizing thing, and there are cities and counties. Towns are really run more and more in combination with the counties. Here in New York, we're close to the model over in New England, where townships are the thing, and the counties are larger and a little bit more distant. And we have a mixture of the two things going on. And of course, that means New York has more layers of government than anybody else. It's special.
Yeah, like here in Sullivan County, obviously we have villages. And I know the one that's always been talked about of dissolving has been Monticello, the village of Monticello in the town of Thompson. And that has been brought up a couple of times in town board meetings. And the town of Thompson wasn't always keen on the idea of that happening. And mostly to do, I believe, with when you take on dissolve a village, you have to take on all the services that the village provides, and sometimes that also means you're including taking on their debt, and all the questions of what happens to the police force. Village of Monticello has a police force. What happens to that one? And the town of Thompson uses the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office as sort of the police force for the rest of the town. So, there's always issues of what happens to all the services that were being taken care of by the village.
The moment you started talking about Monticello, I was thinking, yep, we're going to get to the debt, because that's one of the big issues between Allenville and Wawarsing as well. And but that's surely an example of exactly why these villages need to be, you know, disincorporated, brought into the towns, because, you know, those debts are around their necks, and they're not necessarily big enough or able to tax enough to do much about them. You know, I mean, we're already in a situation with all of our towns, all of our villages, all of our counties, that we need grant money to do anything serious with infrastructure. That tells you that the requirements of our civilization, our infrastructure, our sewers, our water supplies, our roads, whatever it is, right? The costs of those things are moving beyond the taxing abilities of our municipalities and our little local governments. I think this has happened in other civilizations, you know, and we need to think about that and think about how do we get a control of that. You know, I mean, let's not start talking about state bid. But there's a number of angles to all this that we are going to have to contemplate as a society. And as I said before, New York, we're special, you know.
Right. And it'd be interesting to see what happens, and if the village ever does get dissolved, how it all plays out. What happens to the services like the police force, the fire district, and even the school districts, how that it sort of dissolves and gets absorbed by the town. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the Local Edition again, for letting us know what's going on in Ellenville and Ulster County. You can check out Chris Rowley again tomorrow on the Reporters Roundtable hosted by me, Tricia Robayo. We'll be talking to Leah Mayo from the River Reporter, Joseph Abraham from the Sullivan County Democrat, Philip Pontusa from the Times Union, and Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journals, talking about mental health, talking about the Foie Gras ban, and a lot of other different topics. Again, Chris, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Everybody be safe.
That does it for the Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much to our first guest, Sandra Johnston Field, president of the Sullivan County chapter of the NAACP, talking about Juneteenth celebration that's happening this Saturday and the parade kicking off at noon. And also, again, thank you so much to Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journals. We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Voter Rights Forum. And if you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Google, Apple, Stitcher. Search for WJFF, The Local Edition. Subscribe, share it, tell your friends. Find us on social media. We're at WJFF Radio Catskill. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And want to know who's coming up on the show? Check out our Instagram social media. Find out at 4 p.m. We post Monday through Friday. Visit our website, wjffradio.org/The Local Edition. You can find upcoming guests, see past guests, and you can listen to the show. You've been listening to The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricia Robayo. Have a good night, Lucy. This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station, WJFF Jeffersonville. Coming up to start your weekend is The Mixtape. Be safe, everyone, and continue wearing your mask. We still have a pandemic going on.
On January 6, 2021, then-Vice President Pence certified the results of the 2020 election. The committee investigating the attack on the Capitol says the pressure from Trump not to certify the results was enormous.
It is unambiguous that the Vice President does not have the authority to reject electors.
Join us for live special coverage and analysis of the fourth public hearing Tuesday from NPR News.
Your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill.
This Week in This American Life, Mississippi is one of the few states where you lose your right to vote permanently when you go to prison for lots of different crimes. You don't get it back when you get out, but there is one loophole to get that right back.
1721. This is Gerald Laird of Jefferson Davis County.
You get a bill passed in the state legislature. We watch someone try this week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello.
On air at 90.5 FM.
WJFFradio.org.
Listen to us on your smartphone. Download